Welcome to Mill Creek Church in Belleville, Texas, where our worship service is in progress. Today, Pastor Monty Bird continues with his sermon series on the book of Romans. And now, Pastor Bird.
Join me in prayer, please. Father, as we continue our study in Romans this morning, I just pray that as we open your word, that you would speak to us, that we would rest in your truth, that we'd embrace it, that through the power of your Spirit, that we'd apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue our study, we're in that group of verses in Romans 8, 14 through 17, that's been titled The Spirit of Adoption. And I want to read those verses in its entirety before we get to our focal passage this morning. So turn with me, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter 8, starting in verse 14. And it reads, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, though we may also be glorified together." Last week, as I preached through part of verse 15, I made the comment that as a child of God, we have a relationship with the Father. It's just not in name only. And this relationship that we have with the Father isn't from our own choosing. We've been adopted. That's what verse 15 says, that we receive the Spirit of adoption. And just as earthly couples who adopt pick a child out, God in His sovereignty has chosen us. In fact, He chose us before we were even born, and He chose us before time began. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, where Paul wrote the church of Ephesus, and he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world." Before the foundation of the world, before time began, God in His sovereignty chose us. He wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He didn't choose us because we are wonderful people. In fact, it's just the opposite. He chose us in spite of the fact that we're sinners. Already in our study of Romans, we studied Romans 5, verse 8, where it reads, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Think about that. Paul wrote that letter, the letter to the Romans, centuries ago when he wrote that statement, and that while we were still sinners. He's talking about all believers from all ages. Christ bore our sins on the cross, and that while we were still sinners. 1 John 4:10 says something similar. And this is love, not that we love God. Let me repeat that. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We did not love God first. God loved us. He loved us before time began. He loved us before the foundation of the world. And as Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, He has made us accepted in the Beloved through the blood of Jesus Christ. He didn't adopt us out of our goodness. He adopted us in spite of our sin. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are now standing in His presence with acceptance. So through Christ, we are a child of God. We have been adopted. Now, does this mean in name only? Unfortunately, there are a lot of people that profess that they know Christ, and they're perhaps Christians in name only. That they don't know the Lord. They claim title to knowing the Lord. But let's go back to our earthly example of a couple who is adopting a child. So if you can paint a mental image or a mental picture, the couple is at the adoption agency or at the orphanage, and they sign the appropriate paperwork. Well, after they adopt the child, what happens? Well, they take the child home, don't they? The child doesn't stay at the orphanage. They bring the child into their home. Now, let's not just accept that statement at face value. Let's dig a little bit deeper in this statement of they bring the child home. So when you bring a child home, that child is living in a home that has traditions and rules, right? We all have unique homes, and we all do things a little bit differently. Just think back in the home that you grew up in. You grew up with a home with rules, with traditions, with a certain environment. You had rules on when you ate your meals. Some people eat early. Some people eat late. You had rules on cleanliness. Did you keep your room clean? Was your house spotless? Some other people grow up in homes, not so much. You grew up in homes that had certain ideas on politics. Every aspect of life, your home has certain rules and traditions. And for the most part, we take those rules when you grow up with parents. You take those rules and you apply those in your own life. And I know that for those of you who have children, you've experienced this. You know, you sat in your parents' house, and you lived by your parents' rules and their customs and their traditions, and then you found yourself being a mom or a dad, and without thought, you caught yourself saying some of the very same things that your dad or your mom said to you. In other words, perhaps you said, "Don't make me pull this car over." It just comes out, doesn't it? It's because you grew up in that house. You had those rules and those traditions. This is also the case in a Christian spiritual life. We haven't been adopted in name only. God has pulled us into His kingdom. We have been adopted into His family. The Bible says the veil has been taken away. You and I have the ability to have spiritual understanding. Paul says that we have the mind of Christ. In Romans 8:15, part of our focal verse this morning, it says that we receive the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. In other words, we come to identify with the Father. It's not just in title. It's also in characteristics. Because later on in the following verse, in verse 16, it reads, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It doesn't say might be, could be, should be. We are. It's another declarative sentence, just like earlier in our focal passage in verse 14. It says the children of God are led by the Spirit. Are. It's definitive. And here in verse 16, we see that same declaration. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In other words, it's a transformation. It's just not entitled. It is a transformation. God, through the indwelling of the Spirit, changes us. He sanctifies us, and we start taking on the characteristics of the Father. We reflect the truths of God. We are in the household of God, and we reflect who He is. I had a friend whose dad wanted to learn Spanish at an older age. And he decided that he was going to go on one of those immersion trips. So he signed up for this 2-week language class. I can't remember what country, but it was some country in Central America. And during that 2-week class, he was forbidden from speaking English. It was supposed to force him to learn the language more quickly. So he arrived at his destination, and he moved in with his new family for 2 weeks, as he was supposed to be part of this family. So not only did you learn the language, but you kind of learned the culture and with this new family, and they set him up in a room in the house. And it only took him a couple of days to completely ruin the relationship, because our culture was evidently extremely different than the culture in the household that he found himself in. In fact, it was so bad, the family was so mad at him because he had violated some rules of the house, that he ended up going to the instructor, and because his Spanish was limited, he started speaking English. And the instructor said, stop, you can't do that. You got to speak to me in Spanish. He said, I can't express myself that well in Spanish, but I have to be assigned to another home. The relationship cannot be fixed. This isn't the case with us as Christians. As a Christian, our way of living isn't different from the Father. Our way of living, our views, how we perceive society, how we live our life, lines up with God. Let's look at verse 16 again. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. We're aligned. We're together. We believe the things of God. In fact, if you look at those focal verses in total, verse 14 says we're led by the Spirit. Verse 16 says that we identify with the Spirit. Verse 15 says that we cry out to the Father. And in fact, this word, Abba, that's used here in Romans is the very word that Christ Himself used to call out to the Father. You can see this as Jesus is praying in the garden, getting ready to face the cross. And in Mark 14, verse 35, it reads, He went a little farther and fell down on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. And He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Take this cup away from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will. In other words, my friends, we have been adopted so completely, that here Paul writes, we use the very word that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, used when He conversed with the Father. We're a child of God. We're a child of God. We're accepted. We've been brought into the family. We're not a lesser than. We are truly His children. So much so that we identify with the Father just as Jesus Christ identified with the Father in His earthly ministry. And we identify so much, we're so aligned. Our views are the same. We have commonality in truth that we cry out. We cry out. Have you ever taught a class or taught Sunday school, or you may have been part of a little league team and a kid gets hurt and they need comforting? And you've tried to comfort, but the kid wants the parent. You can try to console, but they want mom or dad. That's how it is with us and the Father. We've been adopted into the family and we cry out, Father, because we can have consolation. We can have communication with God Himself because we have been adopted into His family completely. This crying out is the sign of us being a believer. We don't just believe in name only. We have a relationship, and part of that relationship is having a conversation. Part of that relationship is having a conversation, and the way that Christians converse is through prayer, correct? We converse with the Father. We cry out to the Father. There's numerous examples of this in Psalms. Psalm 18:6 reads, In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry came before Him, even to His ears. Psalm 34, verse 17 says, The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. Psalm 56, 9 says, When I cry out to You, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. Psalm 57, 2 says, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. Psalm 84, 2 says, My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Part of our identification is that we identify so much with the Lord. We rest in His truth. We rest in His Word. We have faith that He will come to our rescue in our deliverance, that we cry out. That we cry out. Unfortunately, I think that we have in society today a lot of Christian teenagers. You know what I'm talking about. Teenagers reach the point in their life where parents aren't so hip. If you've raised kids, you all know that. Is that you start out where you're everything. You're everything. And then you hit that point to where not so much. That you don't wear the right kind of clothes. You don't have the right kind of humor. You're not so smart. The teenager feels like you're going to embarrass them. It's the same way, I think, with some believers who haven't matured. They want to be private about their faith. Anybody that tells me that they're kind of private about their faith, it tells me a lot. It tells me that the relationship is either one of two things. It's either non-existent, that they have expressed a belief in God. And unfortunately, in that particular instance, those people acknowledge the existence of God, but they don't know God. That's one particular example of somebody who says, I'm private about my faith. And then the other example is that we are speaking of a very immature Christian who is trying to live one foot in the world and one foot with God. And that never, ever, ever works. Jesus Christ said that we're going to have to deny ourselves. Deny ourselves. That we should rest in the truth of God and that we should rest in our relationship with Him, and in that relationship we cry out, and it's just not a private cry out. It's not private. I'll never forget early on in the establishment of the church, I was having a conversation with a person that I was doing business with. And I was telling them about the church. And I knew at best they were immature as Christians. And I'll never forget, they said, well, we may come sometime. We may come visit. Great. Love to have you. And I'll never forget, I was teaching Bible study on a Wednesday night, and we were about ready to divide up in prayer groups where we prayed among ourselves. And this particular couple walked through the door. And my heart was sad at that particular point because I knew that whether they were just expressing the acknowledgement of God or whether they were extremely immature, I knew that they were going to be extremely uncomfortable in a small group prayer setting to where you went around in a circle and you voiced your prayers to God. And I was right. They never came back. Because sitting around a group of people and voicing a prayer was just something so alien to them that they just couldn't handle it. See, when we have a relationship with the Father, when we have a relationship, it's a natural relationship. And in that natural relationship, we have conversations with the Father. It says we've been adopted. We're His child. And just as a child would talk to their parent, we talk to the Lord. It's part of being adopted. Resting in that conversation. Resting in the power that we can petition the Lord as His child in His presence. And He hears us and He answers us. What a privilege. And that privilege was paid for on the cross of Jesus Christ through the shedding of His blood. Through Jesus Christ shedding His blood, you and I have been adopted as a child, and as a child we cry out to the Father. It makes absolute sense. Can you imagine, as a mom or a dad, if CPS came to your home and they said, "We're here to investigate your worthiness of being a parent." How often do you talk to your child? Once a week for about 2 or 3 minutes. What would happen? Wouldn't be good, would it? If you only spoke to your child once a week for 2 or 3 minutes? I talk to him on Sunday. That's not a relationship. That's not a relationship. See, and I think that's one thing that the modern church has gotten off track. We're not here to check a box and say, "Well, you know, I'm a pretty decent person because I go to church most of the time on Sunday, so I check this box and that makes me a Christian." We've been adopted, and it carries all of the connotations and truths with that. That we've been adopted and we find ourselves accepted in the Beloved because He's called us into His presence. We are no longer at enmity, because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the natural man is what? At enmity with God. But as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment that you accept Him, the moment that you accept Him, that enmity goes away. And you find yourself accepted and beloved. You hear it in people's testimonies. When people say, "You know, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and before I gave my life to Christ, I had this horrible burden. I just couldn't get rid of it. And then I gave my life to Christ and the burden went away." Why'd the burden go away? Because you became accepted in the Beloved. And through acceptance, you have the ability to petition the Father. And one of the signs of being adopted is that we cry out. So we're not here for a checklist. We're not here for, quote unquote, the church. We are here to praise, exalt, and converse with the living Lord. And we do that collectively because God established His institution, the church, not to just make us feel good for the other 6 days of the week, but for us to converse with the Father and cry out. All paid for, all made possible with the blood and grace of Jesus Christ. Join me in prayer, please. Father, we just thank You for the wonderful gift of salvation that we have through Jesus. We just praise You that we've been adopted. We praise You that we went from being at enmity to being at peace through the work of Christ. I pray to You, Lord, that we would never take this for granted. I pray if we have taken it for granted, that You'd forgive us. I pray, Lord, that we'd recognize from this point forward that we have been saved to have a relationship with You, and that relationship is not just in name only. It's through walking in Your truth, conversing with You through the power of prayer. I pray, Lord, that this church might be known by that, that we might be known as a group of believers resting in Your truth, having a relationship with You, and that we would be vocal about it, that we wouldn't be ashamed about it, that we would speak publicly in the public square that, yes, we are Christians, and yes, we rely on your truth. I pray if there's someone listening who has never given their heart to you, they've never asked for forgiveness of sins, they've never repented from their sins, turned from their sins, I pray that right now they might recognize that the only way that they can find acceptance, the only way that they can be adopted, is by resting in your truth, and that accept Jesus as their Savior and Lord at this very moment. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us as Pastor Bird continues this sermon series. If you wish to hear more, you may find him at millcreekchurch.org or go to sermonaudio.com/millcreekchurch. Prayer requests may also be left at millcreekchurch.org. Our church services are as follows. Sunday morning Bible study is at 9 a.m., followed by our worship service at 10 a.m. We have Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study, and they are at 6:30 p.m. For more information and our mission statement, please visit our website, millcreekchurch.org.